lest you feel like you might be experiencing something very odd, you are smelling bread baking. We have bread up here baking for communion today. We try to do that once a year at least so that all of the senses are a part of our time at the table together. So say your prayers that the bread is done by the time we get to communion. It's looking pretty good. So I think we have a good chance. Political arguments, wars, shootings of individuals, mass shootings, people without work, families at odds and not speaking, divorce, abuse, racism, sexism, illness, loss, tornadoes, earthquakes, hurricanes, floods. I don't know about you, but in the midst of all that this world has going on, it's hard for me to stand up here and preach about joy. But joy is exactly what our gospel speaks of today. Joy. That our joy may be complete. How do we even know real joy, much less if our joy is complete? The disciples are in the midst of probably one of the most confusing times for them. And yet Jesus is telling them about complete joy. They're in the midst of their farewell to one that they've spent the last few years out on the road with, learning, watching, living, depending on in many ways. They've left their families, they've left their jobs, all that they've known, and they followed Jesus. And soon they're going to be on their own. Like they've lived through this time of Jesus being arrested and tortured and killed, thinking he was gone, and then he reappeared, and now he's leaving them again. And he won't return this time. And he's talking to them about joy. I admit I struggle with this passage. I think that is because we so often think of joy in earthly human terms. Joy, described as the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. The expression or exhibition of such emotion, a state of felicity, a source or cause of delight. Not perhaps the feeling the disciples were having at this moment. Not at this time in their lives. We think of joy as laughter and smiles and all things good. But I don't think that's exactly what Jesus meant when he talked about joy. What's interesting to me is that if you look up the word used for joy in the Greek, and you look up the word used for grace in the Greek, you find they have the same root. Grace and joy. Not words that we use interchangeably, but the word for joy in the Greek is chara, and the word for grace is charis. The divine influence on the heart and its reflection in the life. The divine influence on the heart and its reflection in life. It's a beautiful way to think of joy, isn't it? Could it be that joy is the feeling, the emotion, the response to grace? The grace that in the midst of all the hardship that we face, all the difficulties we see, all the losses we experience, that we have the guarantee of grace. And that guarantee of grace gives us hope and love and joy that we can't experience with any earthly possession. The kind of joy that can't be earned or attained. A joy that is a gift undeserved. I can't help but think about times of extreme sadness in my life. The loss of my father, the loss of my sister, and most recently the loss of my mother. In the midst of those times, when my heart was extremely heavy, I was able to stand with people and recognize such extreme joy because I had people around me who loved me and cared for me through those difficult times. As I stand here today, I can remember the exact feeling that I had when I first saw the Highland Park Baptist Church bus pull up in Midwest City. And many of you get off at my sister's funeral. I can remember the feeling I had just months ago when I was standing at the visitation for my mother. And in the midst of that tremendous sadness, my heart was lifted when several of you walked in and loved me when I needed love the most. What an amazing God that would love us enough to give us such complete joy. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? When asked how he imagined God, Martin Luther is said to have responded by saying, "When I think of God, I think of a man hanging on a tree, not to keep a grisly image of pain and suffering. Not for that reason, but rather to remind me that there is no length to which God would not go to embrace us in love. No length. There is nothing that God wouldn't do to save us through love, and there is nothing God will permit to remain between us and God's love. Love will conquer. Love will prevail. Love will win." That's a beautiful image of God, isn't it? Love will conquer. That's a phrase used in our scripture today. Love will conquer. Conquerors we are to be if we love God. Our 1 John passage that Walt read says that we conquer the world if we love God. The bread is done. I can't help but wonder, what does it mean to conquer the world? Does it mean that eventually all those things I listed at the first of my sermon will come to an end? That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? No longer to hear of fighting or killing or natural disasters or loss. But I don't think that's what the scripture is telling us. I think we need to keep working towards that, working towards sharing God's love so that we understand. But God set the world in motion. And as long as we're given free choice, there will always be some who don't choose love. who choose the ways of the world? Does it mean conquering the world? Does it mean that we'll eventually all hear what we're proclaiming? That the world will eventually be followers? I'm afraid not. Could it mean maybe that because of the grace that we've experienced, through the love we've experienced, that we can conquer all the things that this world wants to place between us and our faith? That we can find true joy that comes from knowing that our God loves us so completely that we can conquer the ways of the world and we can know complete and perfect joy. Joy that comes from grace, not from things. Joy that when we trust in that grace can fill us completely. Joy. Joy that this table symbolizes. Joy, like Martin Luther said, that reminds us that there is no length to which God would not go to embrace us in love. Joy that shows us there is nothing that God wouldn't do to save us through love. Joy that shows us there is nothing that God would do that would permit us to remain with barriers between us and God's love. Love that conquers. Love that fills us with joy. We gather at this table because we are conquerors through Christ. We've conquered life. We've conquered death. We have complete joy. And this table is our constant reminder. Our constant reminder that God's love is abundant and God's grace is abundant.